bless, I'm blessed. How many blessed today? Being in worship one more time.
Yeah.
Being able to look at the faces of the saints.
Yeah.
Any saints in the building?
Yeah.
I have no perfect hope. There's the saints.
Yeah.
There's some saints and there's some ain'ts.
Yeah.
We ain't worried about the ain'ts. Amen.
Yeah.
If you would, as the word of the Lord, turn with me to the book of Luke. We have not holding it long. We're going to get right down to business, and that is preaching the word. Amen. That's what I'm here to do, is preach the word. And I got a word to preach.
Amen.
I just want to thank everyone for their faithfulness and them not waiting on me to get here. God forbid if I didn't get here, I hope someone came with a word.
Amen.
When you're off the hook today, because I got one. All right. But look at Luke chapter 13. It's a somewhat familiar scripture. I don't think I've ever preached from it. Chapter 13. And today, even though the text will go from verses 10 to 17, we're only going to look at verses 10 through 13. Amen. We have heard of this text. Certainly we have heard sermonic messages from this text. I'll be reading from the King James rendering from the book of Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. Is everybody there?
Amen.
You'll find words along this sort. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. We're going to stop right there. I want you to pray with me on a topic, a call to straighten up. I like that. A call to straighten up. Some topic is today might be the day. Today might be the day. Pray for me, eternal God, our Father's preaching time. We now stand before you. Preach for moments. Nothing occurs, let you speak. Now, speak through this preacher. You know who is here. Make now ears and hearts receptive of your word, that we might all hear what the Spirit has to say to the church of the living God. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask that your will be done, that your word be preached, even the gospel of your son Jesus. It is in his name that we pray and believe. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
You may take your seats. Greater love have no man than this, and a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is in the synagogue. The Bible says on the Sabbath. And today we are privy to that church service. We are introduced to a woman that is given no name. She is not known by name, but she is known by her circumstance and the predicament that she finds herself. In other words, she is known by her condition. People, although you have a name, people know you by the condition that you're in.
Amen.
Have I got one witness?
Amen.
This woman was known by her condition because the Bible says that she was in that way for 18 years. She was known as the woman with an infirmity. This infirmity, you need to know, had crippled her. No longer was she able to walk upright. She was taken even from the dignity of being looked upon as an equal. For no longer now could she walk like normal folk walk. But now, because of her condition, she was bent over. And she was in a constant state of pain.
Amen.
This condition left her deformed and robbed her of a normal life. It took away a life of dating and a life of normalcy. We know that this world is a normal woman because her condition, I did some studying and I found out that her condition struck people between the ages of 10 and 30. It's a young woman. She was robbed of motherhood. No one wanted anybody that was bent over and crooked and deformed as she was. But notice that even though year in and year out, hoping that her condition would change, the Bible says that she was at church. God will bless us for our faithfulness. This shows us the importance of coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, even though your condition might not change. My third offer is today just might be the day that I get my church. Show up with a miracle. You don't know when the Lord is going to show up with a special package of grace just for you. So I say, they like you today. And although all of us, for the most part, walked in here upright, if the truth be known, something in us. Oh, y'all ain't going to be. Something on in us is bent over and crooked. It just ain't right.
Amen.
Even though you can see her condition because she was bent over at a 90 degree angle,
yeah.
Some of us, you can't see where the skin was at. This is a picture of some of our spiritual condition is crooked. Messed up.
Amen.
God sent me by to tell you that today might be your day. That you came in crooked, but you can lean straight. You came in bent over, but you can lean raw up upright. Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah. Some of us are bent and crooked, messed up. See, this infirmity meant that she was infirm. She was weak. She had inability in her area. Some of us are bent up emotionally. We wear our emotions on our sleeves, and some of us are crooked spiritually. Come on, somebody. We can't love like we're supposed to love because our love has been burned. Bent over and crooked and messed up. The Bible says that, and he was teaching. Jesus was in service on the Sabbath. It lets me know that if Jesus came to church, why can't we? Feel Sunday for some folks is a Sunday to take off, but you just might miss your blessing on the Sunday that you ain't there.
Amen.
And some of y'all are like me. We got to have a scientific reason why she was bent over. I did my research, and she had what has been described as Mary's Shuntail disease. You know, when doctors run upon an illness that they never know, what they do is they will name it after the person in which it is discovered. This is otherwise known as anterostenosis spondylitis. Anterostenosis spondylitis means it starts out as a chronic arthritis. Oh, we know what arthritis is, right? Some of us got arthritis in our knees and our back. Come on, somebody. It starts out as arthritis in her lower back. And to relieve the pain, she had to lean forward. Come on, somebody. And as long as she leaned forward, the pain wasn't as deep. It never went away, but she leaned forward to relax the pain. I wish I had some pain. And in my research, the scientist said, as long the woman leaned over, the back becomes fused in that position. 18 years now, by now she like this. Could not walk upright. What started out as just simple back pain now and left her deformed. Notice that the Bible puts it in terminology that a Christian can understand. Even though she had an acute case of arthritic pain that fused her back, the Bible says that she was. Come on, somebody. She was not demon-possessed. Because you know, everything that goes wrong is us, is spirit connected. She was not demon, oh Lord have mercy. She was not demon possessed, she was demon oppressed. Oh, there's a difference.
Yeah. Amen.
A lot of us aren't demon possessed, but we are demon oppressed. We are oppressed by the devil. This is nothing but a picture of the soul of all of us in here. Something about us just ain't right. It is a picture of spiritual bondage, spiritual crookedness that leaves us bent and out of shape, even though our physical condition can be seen when the spiritual is not readily seen. But just because some can be seen from the outside, don't mean that it ain't there. Have I got a witness? You can't tell it, but there are some biblical folk in here. You can't tell it, there are some folk that are deformed spiritually in here today. Because that couple came in here that's still holding on to something that happened in the past. Somebody say, are you spiritually dead? No, you they never admit it to you. That's why somebody didn't even say that. I'm preaching to you. The one that comes out, they got it all together, ain't got it all together. God is simply trying to tell you today might be the day that you can leave them out front and come right. Bible says, and he was teaching in the synagogue, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. The Bible calls it a spirit. And that's what some of us are dealing with, is a spirit. A spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. I just want to look at three little points found in this next verse. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw her, I'm going to stop right there. You can hide it from us, but you can't hide it from the Lord. Whatever you're dealing with, God knows all about it. I want to talk to somebody now that's been overlooked. People will overlook you for promotion. People will overlook you for even being present in that area. They will ignore you, but not Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus saw her. Now, what you must needs know is this is on the Sabbath day. This is in church service. Women were not allowed to be in the sanctuary.
So how in the world did Jesus see her? Jesus saw her because he waited to the benediction. Now, what's that? She could not come into the sanctuary where everybody else were because women weren't allowed. When Jesus saw her, he saw her after service.
Okay.
How many know that they have a blessing at the benediction? I'm talking to one man right before everything let go. You know, you get so antsy in your seat, you can't wait. There used to be for black all up one single and get out. They don't trip. No, they just get up and roll. They're like, man, I'm leaving. Y'all ain't gonna stop. Y'all ain't gonna save me. And what you do is you leave your blessing behind. If this woman wouldn't have waited till the end of service, Jesus would have never saw her. If you're a member of faith and you go to a service, stay until the end. And if you can't stay until the end, don't go. I'm going to say it again. If you're going to go to a service, that means you're going to be committed until the end. And if you're not going to be committed to the end, don't go. What are you saying here? God can play it too long. I got something more important than you ain't gonna do squat when you leave there. All you gonna do is leave and go home and look at television. I'm looking at some little bigger things. If you are a member of faith and you go to another neighbor trip, I'll tell you what's in New York City. And the benediction is in there. Keep your hips in the seat. I'm just going to go there long enough to sing. The devil is alive. It ain't about you singing. It's about you serving. When we go out, not only do we represent faith missionary church, we represent Christ, the living Savior. And what if, while on the cross, he would have raised his hand? I have enough of this. He could have spoke the word and came down from the cross, but he didn't do it. He stayed right there. Ah, Lord have mercy. And if love can keep Christ on the cross, oh Lord, have mercy. Love for the sake of it, keep your hips in your seat.
Amen.
Somebody outside agree with me. Bible says that the Lord saw her, and next he summoned her. We don't know where she was in service. But we do know that she was in service. And Jesus saw her, and then he called her.
Yeah.
Somebody say, is there a calling on your life?
When
a call is on your life, your only response is to come. Your only response is to get up and move. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You can imagine that she's been over. We don't know where she was in service. The only belief that she had was probably sitting down. But the Lord called her out of her comfort zone and said, come forth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine he's stopping service and this woman gets up and makes her way down? Come on, somebody. Bent over, looking at everybody whispering, everybody talking, but she came when the Lord called. Looks like you better move when he calls. Many of you have been called in this name, many of you have been called in that name, and you sit right there. A lot of it was called to praise. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You were called to praise his name, and you want to praise his name, but something keeps you in the seat. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, thou art loose this morning. You need to tell somebody, you are loose this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to somebody today, you ain't never praised the Lord. You want to praise the Lord by the man, but I want to just talk to a few folks that God woke up this morning. he spoke to her and said, "Woman, thou art loosed." I want you to know, as I get ready to take my seat, in that proclamation, he spoke in the past perfect tense. Actually, the imperfect tense. What he was saying is, what I'm telling you to do, you have already done. Lord have mercy. Y'all don't miss that. He didn't say, woman can't lose. He said, thou art loose. In other words, if I'm in there speaking, what I'm telling you to do, you can already do it. Somebody say, you're loose in here.
You're loose in
here. This word loose comes from a legal term, apollo, A-P-O-L-U-O, for you note takers. That first part of it is apo, which means from. The last part is L-U-O, which means to loose. What he was saying is, you have been granted acquittal. You have been pardoned. You have been freed. You have been released from your painful state. And if that was not enough, he spoke to her. The Bible says that then he laid hands on her. Don't miss this point right here. What is the laying on of hands? Everywhere in the Bible we said that when you see something done, there's a thing called first mention. And everywhere in the Bible, whatever the meaning of that particular first mentioned word is, or phrase is, or situation is that meaning throughout the scriptures. So what he was saying was, you are no longer spiritually bound. But she needed more because she had no power. Can you imagine being in that state for 18 long years? She had been robbed of the power and the strength in her abdomen to uplight herself. God said she couldn't do it. She needed some help. Somebody said, you need some help. So the Lord laid hands on her. Again, something that wasn't done in that day. Priest didn't touch the infirmity. But Jesus laid his hands on her because power had to be given to her. And the Bible says immediately. Can I say right here, God can't put his hands on you until you put you in his hands. God cannot lay his hands on you until you get in his hands. He put his hands on her because she came forward and she was saying, Lord, my life is in your hands. And he put his hands on her. Notice there's no oil. No anointing of oil. There's no exchange of words on her part. There's no offering taken. She didn't have to go to a conference. Come on, somebody. Ain't no mentioning of a prayer talk. But Jesus spoke to her. And the Bible says he laid his hands on her. In the Word of God, the laying on of hands was done as a dedicatory service, a sacrifice. It was done also as installing a priest in the Levitical priesthood, but it also was a bestowing of blessing and an ingratiating differentiation of power. And when he touched her, the Bible says immediately she was made straight. And when God makes you straight, when God makes you straight, the Bible didn't say anything else. But one thing after she was made straight, the Bible said, and she glorified God. Maybe there's some of the reason people can't glorify God because they ain't been made straight. I wish I had that. God made you straight. You are glorifying him to somebody and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Any blind folk in here, I was blind, but now, somebody say right now. Right now I can see. Somebody walk in here crooked. Won't you lead straight? An infirmity, I'm talking to the one now who Jesus assured us that in this life, you will have tribulation. Somebody say, you're going to have some problems. We know that this woman was Abraham's seed. She was a believer. Just because you were a believer don't mean that the problems are going to stop. All right, y'all say amen. Just because you go to church, don't think the trouble ain't going to meet you next week. And don't think that I should have prayed the Lord. You better praise Him now while you got a chance. Next week is coming, and it's some stuff that is out of your control. I'll say it again. There's some stuff going to happen to all of us next week that we have no control over. But what we can control is our response to it. Just remember that. This woman, after she was made straight, the Bible says she's glorified God. Can I get somebody in here to give God a hand praise?
Right.
And if I find myself in the care of the Lord, there's no more enough at least to know that there's more people bound in prison on the outside of this wall than those on the inside. No worse state you can be in than to be free but still bound. But somebody say you're loose. This text teaches us that everything that the devil took from you, God will restore. Did you hear me? Her youth was robbed from her. 18 years, all her youth was gone. Childbearing years taken from her. She was robbed of that which she once possessed. But when the Lord restored it back to her, what he's telling us is everything that the devil took away. Remember, she was not demon-possessed. She was demon-oppressed. I don't know what's worse than being oppressed by Satan or to be possessed by Satan. Both are bad. But both can be cured by the mighty word of God. We thank God for his word. We thank you for your patience. We learn again that this woman would have never been able to be seen of God, but she couldn't come in the sanctuary where everybody else was. Only way that Jesus saw her is that she waited until the end of service. There is a blessing at the benediction. And when we say that, you're looking for some monetary blessing. You're looking for some physical blessing. Let me tell you something about the blessings of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord sometimes aren't realized until weeks or years later. Some of us now are living on the reciprocated blessings of staying for service in the morning and leave. Y'all say amen. You, normally, if you want to stay in God's will, do what you don't want to do. Go where you don't want to go. My challenge to some of y'all last week was to turn the TV off 1 hour. Who did that?
Mine stay off in the
Turn the TV off. We told you to get your house in order. A disorganized house repels blessing because we serve a God of order.
Amen.
And I told my wife yesterday, I cut the hedges and I went around and cut the grass. And the reason I did that is because I want that place to look kept. I want that place to look tended. Because we learn that God is a God of order. And even if your house looks like a forest, it repels blessing. Now, y'all miss that. The only difference in a forest and a garden is that one is kept. So some of y'all went home, and I understand that you started cleaning up. That's a good thing. Because where you live states who you are. Some of you sought the Lord through prayer. I tell you to cut the TV off 1 hour and look for the thing that God has instilled. Somebody say a gift. God has put a gift in every one of us that will make room for us if we only find it. You have another chance. We must get in the habit of seeking the Lord that he might seek after us. We ask that you stand to your feet. The Lord extend a Christian invitation.